I just want to thank everybody here for joining us as we officially close BBS with this celebration service. And as you've noticed, Shiloh has a special calling to children. And with this BBS, we've renewed, you know, the calling. We've done BBS as many times before, but we hadn't had one for a while, but that's all right. You know, we're just saying, hey, we love our children, your children, my children, and the children of the community. You know what? More importantly than that, God loves children. You guys know that children have a special effect on us, right? Right. I think people are pulling stuff. No, just kidding. I'm losing my microphone. Children have a special effect on us. I wanted to share with you guys about a special report that the BBC did on children. And the report was called, Why Are Baby Animals So Cute? Why Are Baby Animals So Cute? All right. So, hold off for that first slide here, Jesse. I'm going to tell you when, all right? All right, hold on, because I want to... The idea is that that they found, obviously, remember, this is from a psychological type of research, a secular perspective, and they said that adults might be especially attracted to infants was formalized in 1943 by renowned ethologist Conrad Lorenz, who was a scientist that studied animal behavior. He sought to answer the question of why the babies of many species appear cute, the so-called baby schema. The first theory is that humans find baby animals endearing simply because they share many physical characteristics, such as large eyes, a round face, a small nose, and a plump, small body. All right, let's show the first picture. Everybody take a look at the screens. All right. Aren't they cute? When you have a parent of two little girls, you can say cute. I'm okay to say cute. All right. That is also why we love stuffed animals. Where's my stuffed animal? All right. One of the traits that the psychologists find that we're really drawn to are large eyes in proportion to the face. Look at this. Everybody say, You know, and so they say that one of the animals that more consistently is seen as cute is the panda bear, because not only does they have big eyes, especially when they're small, but because they have the big patches of black, so it makes their eyes look even bigger, so they look cuter, you know. So let me show you one more slide. Let's see what you think about this next one. Let me show me some babies. I know Pastor Carolyn's going, she's just melting. Listen to this. Objective tests published in numerous scientific journals over the years show that adult humans feel a range of positive emotions, including endearment, when shown pictures of human babies. They feel less aggressive, act more tenderly, and want to take care and protect the infants they see. Such feelings are thought to increase their ability to parent and the survival of human babies and young children. The fact is that children have an effect on our lives, don't they? They just touch a place in our hearts. You know, whenever I hold my daughter, and I want you to think about this. The Bible says that we were made in God's image. So those traits that we have, when we look at children and we are touched to the core of our heart, is something that God put there. Because when He looks at us, those are the feelings that He gets. The Bible says that you cannot count the number of times that He thinks about us. Okay, we're going to start with the scripture, Mark chapter 10, verses 13 through 16. So let's read it. It says, people were bringing little children to Jesus for Him to place His hands on them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, He was indignant. He said to them, let the children come to Me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And He took the children in His arms, place His hands on them, and He blessed them. Amen. God loves little children. But more importantly, listen to that scripture. It says, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. That's worthy of exploring. That we take a look at the scripture, that we must be like little children. Otherwise, we cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. How many of you want to enter the kingdom of heaven? I think we all do. But it says we must be like children. So we know that children have a special place in this family. You know, the truths of God are for His children. There are numerous examples of great men and women of God in the Bible who at a young age, some as children, some as young teenagers, you know, were called, like Joseph, like Samuel, like David, like Jeremiah, like Mary, the mother of Jesus. Children can hear God's voice. I was 8 myself when I gave my life to the Lord. I was 10 years old when I was baptized. By the age of 11, I had already gone to another town to share my testimony with some pastors of the church. I had also gone on the streets that taught us to evangelize in the street. Okay? Children are not second-rate Christians. They're first-class Christians. As a matter of fact, God says that we must be like children. We must receive the kingdom of God like little children, or we cannot enter it. So what Jesus is saying is that there's something about the way children receive and respond to him that we must also have. So God also speaks to us constantly through children. How many of you have received a great teacher from the Lord when looking at children? Yes. Just a little example. A friend of mine who attended Shiloh and Santa Cristiana Shiloh many years ago told me a story of how he, right around the time he came to the Lord, was drinking an adult beverage. Okay, I'm not going to say what it was because I have children here. Okay, he had 3 children, 2 older boys, and then the apple of his eye, his baby daughter. Okay, and I cannot recall if it was before or after Christ when this happened, but he enjoyed this adult beverage very much. Okay, just, you guys know what I'm talking about, all right? And one day, as was his custom, he was drinking from a large glass. He left it on the table and walked away. When he came back to the room, he saw his daughter had chugged the whole thing. This had such a severe effect on him that he gave it up. Children can teach us many things. All right, so for the next 15 minutes or so, hopefully less, I want to tell you 7 things to learn from children. Are you guys ready for it?
Yes.
All right. Number 1, the lesson of faith. The lesson of faith. We can learn from you guys. Matthew chapter 5, verse 8 says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." Now, Jesus said, "It is not what comes into a man that makes him unclean, but what comes out." Okay, so we can take in a lot of things, but then all of a sudden things start bubbling out of our hearts. And that's really what makes us unclean. You know, we're not legalistic. You know, we say, hey, we don't tell you, don't watch TV. But we say, hey, out of all things, guard your heart, for out of it flows the issues of life. Right? So, but children, when they come, you know, as babies, they've been unspoiled by the world. And the enemy wants to take away that innocence, that purity, that fearlessness, the confidence, and the potential that they come with. Why? Because children have a special ability to receive God's truth. We must receive the word with gladness. Look at what Acts chapter 2, verse 41 says. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. People that gladly receive the word, they respond. They are transformed by the word of God. So if you receive the words in the scripture as if they're from God, which they are, then it has the power to transform your life. If you question the word and try to poke holes in it, it will not have any effect. You got to receive it gladly like a child. The other thing that we must remember is that when it says the blessed are the pure in heart, the word in the Greek from which it comes, katharos, it actually means cleansed, purified. Some of us think, well, what about me? I've already been so dirty. I've already done a lot of things that disqualify me from this scripture. How can I see God if I'm not made pure? But it talks about those that are made pure, those that are made cleansed. You know, Isaiah chapter 1 that says, doesn't matter how dark your sin is, he can make you white as snow. And not just in a notional way, the Holy Spirit gives us a sense of cleanliness, a sense of holiness, a sense of being sacred to God and special to him. Amen? So God can purify us. Okay, all right, everybody, ready? Let me try it again. All right, number 2, the lesson of hope. With every child comes a fresh start. Unspoiled potential and a chance to dream. Without children, there is no future. How many of us live vicariously through our children? For those of us that have lived longer, there's possibly a trail of victories, successes, but also failures and regrets. But with every baby, there's new hope. Abraham is called the father of faith in Scripture because he wanted a future. He wanted a legacy. And though he did not have a child, God had a future for him. The word says, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations. God gave him sons in his old age. You know what? I endeavor to provide a future for my children. This is because we're God's children, and he endeavors to provide a future for you and me. This is one of the scriptures you guys had for this week, guys. Jeremiah 29:11. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." So children remind us of hope, which means the best is yet to come. Come on, say it with me. The best is yet to come. Awesome. All right, number three, the lesson of praise and worship. Psalm 8:2 says, "Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger." And I will tell you, children are some of the best teachers of how to do praise and worship. They're much better than some of you and I, some of you guys, and maybe you and I. Okay, and let me explain to you how a praise is. Praise is when I walk into my house through the garage, and my kids run from the living room saying, "Daddy, Daddy!" And they come running out through the hallway, and they embrace me, and they hug me, and we rejoice, and it's a bubbling thing, it's an exuberant thing. That is what praise should be like when we come into the house of the Lord. Amen? We can't go gently into that good night, so to speak. We need to come in here exuberantly. The Bible says, you know, come into his courts with praise, with thanksgiving in our heart. It's got to be exuberant. Amen? Hallelujah. We're not going to, the rocks are praises. But now let's talk about worship. After a while of being in the house, you know, my daughters come and sit in my lap. And nobody else can hear, but we start telling each other, "I love you. You're so special to me." And I kiss them on the cheek. And they kiss me back, and I hug them, you know. And many times it's a one-on-one, you know. It's not with them together. It's just, you know, especially, you know, now the Bella's small, and she's starting to say words, and I say, "Te amo." And she say, "Te amo," you know. "I love you. I yo you." Yeah. You know, it just touches my heart. So the word says that it is by the Spirit that we can cry, "Abba." You guys know what Abba means? It's a word from the Aramaic, which basically means daddy. When the Holy Spirit is in us, and it says that everybody that gives their lives to the Lord, now you can call him daddy. Not just distant father, but intimate father. Amen? So we should worship like children love their parents, and parents love their children. Amen? All right, number four. The lesson of simplicity. 1 John 4:18 says, "There is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love." You know what? One of the things I found about children is that they're unencumbered by the sophistication of our society. They play. They work. They eat. They dress. Or lack of. You know, without caring what other people think. You know, unfortunately, as we get older, you know, because of this thing called fear of rejection, you know, and wanting to be accepted, we begin to try to buy people's, you know, affection by doing things that maybe you would normally do to just to please them. Amen? Or I wish I'd say not amen. That's not an amen. That's a not amen. So, when we're loved unconditionally per the scripture, we can live with simplicity. Just there to please the Lord, because he loves us with what kind of love? Unconditional. But what is the word that we learned this week? Unfailing love. So children can teach us to live simple, transparent, you know, lives that please the Lord. All right, lesson number five. This is very important. I love this one. The lesson of forgive and forget. Ephesians 4:32 says, "Be kind and tender-hearted to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ forgave you." One of the things that I see children do all the time is that they fight 1 minute. You know, and here's the worst part when they fight. You know, if it's not two different, the children from two different parents, you get kind of like worked up by it, right? If your child is the aggressor, you're feeling really bad. You know, or if your child is the one that's getting, you know, offended or hurt, you know, then you kind of feel a little, you feel wrong. Then, you know, you take the offense for your child, and, you know, and you're all over, you have all those feelings, and you're all worked up, and you don't know what to do. How am I going to tell this parent that he needs to tell his kid to back off and this and that? And then you turn around, and the kids are playing together again. You know, the Bible says that we need to be tender-hearted to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ forgave us. You know, we need to be quick, like children, to let go of offenses. Amen? One of the things that we said about BBS is that with all the friction that we were going to have this week, there was going to be situations where people might get a little rough, or we may react not as godly as we like. But it's not what happens that makes a difference, but it's how we respond to situations. It's how we respond to situations. And if we catch ourselves and say, you know what? I was starting to get all worked up. You know, the Bible says, be angry, but do not sin. Right? He doesn't want us to sin, but it says we have to cover each other with a multitude of sins. So we need to be like children and be quick to forgive and forget. And everybody says?
Wow.
All right, we're getting close. The lesson of being teachable. You know what? Children are undisciplined by nature, right? That's what we're here for, is to train them, you know, in the ways of the Lord, right? So the book of Hebrews, you know, in chapter 12, it says that God as a father, he disciplines those that he loves. And when it comes to things of God, listen, many of us are both undisciplined, but worse, unteachable. Children may be undisciplined, but they're teachable. You can mold them. They're open to be trained. They want your guidance. They welcome your input. Amen? Let me give you another illustration. Noah's Ark. How many of you know about Noah's Ark? So this is a really cool thing. What happened in Noah's Ark is that if you remember, all the people that were in the Ark, what happened to them? The people that were in the Ark, they were saved, right? And the people that were not in the ark, what happened to them? They perished, right? So the ark represents Jesus. Everybody that is in the ark, you know, is saved. But everybody, you know, that is not in the ark perishes. It is mutually exclusive. But what I wanted to get to is the other thing that often we don't think about. There were all these animals in there. And there were animals in there that normally chase each other and eat each other in the ark. But when they were in the ark, their nature changed. When they were in the ark, they were transformed. And we see it in the other places in the Bible. Like in the Garden of Eden, the animals cohabitated together, right? When Daniel went into the, you know, in that den, says that the lions didn't open their mouth. They were friendly to Daniel. Why is that? Because when we're in Jesus, when we're in the ark, God transforms our nature. But we have to be willing. We have to be obedient, like it says in Isaiah 1:19. If you're willing and obedient, you will eat of the fruit of the land. We have to be teachable. We have to be teachable. We have to accept that we don't have all the revelation, that we can learn from other people, that we all need feedback. Amen? 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says that those that are in Christ Jesus become a what? A new creature. Everybody say new creature? New creature. So God gives you a new nature through the Holy Spirit. You can be transformed. You can change. I used to be a very angry kid. I got in a lot of fights. But when I came into Jesus, the Bible says that He convicts the Holy Spirit will convict us of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And I knew that I was not doing right. And I began to ask God to change me. And I remember with tears, I would ask God. And He began to transform me and give me peace. Amen? He can transform you as well. Because Anyone that is in Christ is a new creation. Amen? I'm going to trip here in a second. All right, everybody. All right, the last lesson. I'm almost done here. The lesson of trust. A child, no matter what the circumstances, can sleep in the arms of his mom or dad. Children do not keep their eye open to see what their parents are doing, see if they're going to trip or drop them. Why? Because they have a full confidence that their parents are going to hold them up. Of course, until you drop them the first time. No, I'm just kidding. That never happens. But they have this innocent belief that all is well in the arms of Papa. All is well in the arms of Mama. Right? Look at Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. It says, in all your ways, submit to Him and He will make your path straight. We often question when God tells us to do something. But when the Father who created all things tells us to trust Him, we must do so. If we lean not in ourselves or our past experiences, He will make our path straight. Remember, He has hope and a future for us. What is hope? The best is yet to come. Come on, say it with me again. The best is yet to come. But you got to trust the Father. He's got the plan for you. He's got the training, you know, itinerary for you already set. So my question for you is, will you put your trust in Him? Will you put your trust in Him today? Or are you going to do it your way? Let me tell you a story of a man who wanted to do it his way, but eventually he trusted the Lord. And many of you are familiar with this story. It's in 2 Kings chapter 5. And I'm going to show you one last slide. It's a story about a Syrian general named Naaman. And he suffered from an incurable disease of the skin called leprosy. Many of you know this story, right? Well, it was a young girl. Once again, God uses children. It was a young girl that served Him that said, hey, there's a man of God. There's a prophet in Israel who can tell you how to be healed. He can tell you how to be healed. So that brought hope to his heart. That brought hope to his heart. So he went to Israel, to Samaria, to find this prophet named Elisha. Right? And so what did the prophet say? Hey, this is what you're going to do to be free from the skin disease. Remember, in the Old Testament, skin diseases represented being under curse, being away from God. And this man named Naaman trusted, you know, first the servant told him, the young girl, and went and talked to the prophet. But then when he was told, hey, you need to go and dip yourself 7 times in the Jordan River, and then you will be healed. If you will dip yourself 7 times in the Jordan River, you will be healed. He said, oh, wait a second. That doesn't make any sense. So once in a while, all of us adults and teenagers, sometimes we start saying, wait a second. You know, like saying says, did God really say? Does that really make sense? He's like, there's better rivers in Syria. What am I going to be doing in this murky, you know, small, dirty river in Israel? But the servants encouraged them and said, you know what? Do what the man of God said. He hears from God. Trust in the Lord and see what happens. So he did it. He went to the river, and I can just imagine the picture. He dipped himself 1 time and he came out. Nothing happened. And a second time and nothing happened. And then he dipped himself 1/3 time and nothing happened. And 4th time and nothing happened. Maybe he's getting discouraged and the servants are saying, keep doing it, man. Just stay with it. And 5th time and nothing happened. And then 6th time and nothing happened. You know, and I just want to say sometimes life is like that. We say, Lord God, I'm doing what you told me to do. But I feel like I'm in a wilderness. I'm not seeing the answer that I want. I want the breakthrough. But he says, trust me. Trust me. Keep your eyes on me. I am the author and finisher of your faith. And he said, finally, he dipped himself 7th time. And lo and behold, when he came out, it says that his skin was like that of a young child. And everybody says,
wow.
One more time.
Wow.
But look at this story. I think it's amazing that God put this in the Bible. It doesn't say, yeah, his skin was like it was before, as an older adult. He says his skin was made like that of a young child. That is to remind us that God doesn't just, you know, forgive us. He completely redeems our past. He makes us feel clean. Doesn't matter if you were a prostitute. Doesn't matter if you were a dealer. Doesn't matter if you, you know, killed someone. You know, God can forgive your sin. If you're in pornography and you feel dirty all the time, God can cleanse your sin. You just got to dip yourself in the water of the Word and trust that the work of the Lord, it will surely come. Give it some time. Keep doing what the Lord is telling you to do. Be obedient. Be teachable. And you will see God's miracle in your life. Amen. So put off your natural instinct to rely on your experience. And you acquire wisdom and just surrender to Him. He will make your heart like that of a child. Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. And we're going to close here. And what we're going to do is we're going to sing this song together called Come to the Altar. You know, and I really want to pray with some of you guys. Remember what it says. Unless you become like a child, you will not enter the kingdom of God. What better lesson can we learn from these children than to respond to God without trying to think about the sophistication of what are people going to think of me? Maybe they won't think that I'm cool. They're going to think that I have some really bad sin. It doesn't matter what people think. Think of what your Father thinks. Think of what your Father thinks. And if you need something from the Lord, after we begin singing this song, we're going to open the altar. I want you to come up here, and the pastors and elders want to pray for you. And I think this will be the best closing to BBS, is that the God does not just do a miracle in the children, but He does a miracle in the entire family. He touches parents. He touches grandparents. He touches sisters and brothers and fathers and mothers. Amen. And He gives a hope, a bright future. Amen.